The following is audio from the Coalition of Conscience Forum, Can You Be Gay and Christian? A Christian audience member addresses the panel during the Q&A section and openly supports using capital punishment against gay and lesbian people. The panel, including Dr. Michael Brown, director of the Coalition of Conscience, ex-gay Stephen Bennett, and Frank Zurich, professor of the Fire School of Ministry, respond. The audio is approximately 10 minutes long.
Thank you all for putting this on, and I could relate to some of what Matt said as well. Homosexuals, we're not commanded to put them in a boat and send them out to sea and let the ship sink. But regardless, Dr. Turkey pointed out that the law is a great teacher, and as a citizen of this country, I have a civic obligation, civic duty to vote, which means I have a say in what the laws are going to be. And as the way I understand it, the way I read this, homosexual behavior being the key, not gay people, but homosexual behavior, just like murder and adultery, is a capital offense. Now,
it's a capital offense where?
In the scriptures. Yes. Yeah. It is a capital offense.
As is adultery.
As is breaking the Sabbath.
Breaking the Sabbath.
Regardless. Right. If it comes up for a vote, what I hope to be a responsible citizen of this country, I don't think it's going to come up for a vote anytime soon, but if it were, my vote would be that, yes, it is a capital offense. That's my vote. That's what the word says. So my question to you, especially Dr. Brown, is this. How can you expect homosexuals to come into agreement with the word? Now, I'm basing this on the premise that you have not changed your position on capital punishment. So I could be wrong on this.
So you asked me at the Blumenthal, should homosexuals be put to death? And I said, no.
That's correct.
No more than Sabbath breakers should be put to death.
Right.
That position has not changed.
Okay.
You're safe, guys. All right.
Therefore, my question then is, if Dr. Brown, how can you expect them to come into agreement with what the Most High has put forth if you will not even come to agreement with it? And that's my question.
Simple answer. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. That the Sinaitic covenant is not what we're under. We're under a new and better covenant. And nowhere does the New Testament prescribe the death penalty for any of these things. Rather, if we're walking in sin, be it sexual immorality, which can be heterosexual or homosexual, whether we're walking in drunkenness or greed or anger or hatred, if we walk in persistent, unrepentant sin, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. The things for which the people of Israel were put to death in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, some of those same things, they are put out of the body. In other words, if someone is continuing to practice sin that Scripture explicitly prohibits, then those people, if they won't repent, are put out of the body, which is a foretaste of being rejected by God. But thank God we are under the New Covenant. Otherwise, we'd all be fried and gone and dead a long time ago. And here, I never, Matt talks about he would have committed suicide. Well, I would have been stoned to death. Because I stole money from my own parent. I literally cursed my father one time and after taking enough hallucinogenics for 30 people. Thankfully, there was not a death penalty to destroy me. The reason I hold to what I hold to is because I am absolutely, totally committed to my very last breath to the truth of the Scripture. And since you made reference to my position, I've challenged your position privately, very clearly, that it is an unscriptural position that is ultimately dangerous and leading to a wrong conclusion, not just about homosexual practice, but about many other issues.
Capital punishment is acceptable for murder. Somebody commits murder, is it okay? Is it just to put that person to death?
Okay, so just, we'll allow the discussion just to go slightly further. There's a healthy debate about capital punishment in terms of murder. Here's what's unique about it, beginning in Genesis 9 and then reinforced in Numbers 35 and elsewhere. It's the principle of life for life. There is a devaluing of human life. If you take someone's life, you kill 20 people and you go to jail for 5 years, there's a devaluing of life. So there is an argument, because man is created in God's image, that when a human being murders another human being, they therefore forfeit their life. It's a very assault on the nature and character of God in a human being. And that Numbers 35 says that there is no atonement for bloodshed except the blood of the one who shed it. The other argument could be that Jesus is still given atonement for all, and that something like life in prison without parole is also the forfeiting of a life. I do know a man, David Berkowitz, who was a serial killer, that is now a wonderfully devoted Christian. If he had suffered the death penalty, he would be lost forever. Instead, he has the rest of his life to spend in prison without parole. When a question of parole came up, he wrote to the governor and made clear, I am deservedly behind bar for the rest of my life. I have forfeited my life. However, he loves Jesus in his ministry and reaching out to many.
As Paul wrote, if I have done any sin worthy of death, I refuse not to die. Correct? You did say this.
We all die.
I refuse not to die.
Even if you did say
that. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that verse anywhere in Scripture. Yeah, anyway, well, thanks, Tim.
I'd like to just say something, and I don't mean to be disrespectful about this, sir, but your name was Matt. If any law was ever brought up or passed by that, you could be sure I would be standing on the same lines with Matt voting against that. That is completely unscriptural, and I thank God for Jesus Christ who died on the cross. We are living under a new covenant right now, and it's his love and mercy that brought me to repentance in Jesus Christ. It's not a death penalty that's going to scare me into being straight. So, Matt, I want to apologize to you right now.
The underlying debate here is, does the Old Testament laws apply to nations other than Israel? That's really what we're talking about here. And I think most Christians agree, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is, the old laws passed away. Those laws don't apply to us anymore. Of the Ten Commandments, nine of them are repeated in the New Testament. The only one that isn't is the Sabbath, right? Death penalty is not prescribed, or prescribed for all of those instances in the Old Testament like it is now. If it is, then we're all in sin because we're not obeying all those laws in Leviticus right now, too. You know, all those crazy laws in Leviticus, all those laws point to the fact, those 613 laws are there to point to the fact that we can't do it ourselves.
Right.
That only a Savior who's God Himself can come and live the life for us. So we're free from the law now and all of its penalties that go with it.
Agreed. The Most High set forth a code of ethics for us to live by, a moral code.
Yes.
When we don't come into agreement with it, how can we expect anything but homosexuality to increase? The New Testament doesn't address bestiality.
Right, so Tim, just to address that again. And we've given you a platform to speak, okay? It's not a debate now. This is questions that we're responding to, in fairness to others, okay? So, simple answer is this. There are many sins for which there is not a death penalty, and yet we recognize we have sinned against God, we are guilty, we are in need of His mercy. There is not a death penalty on me for being a rebel. There is not a death penalty on me for being a liar. There is not a death penalty on me for stealing money from my father, but I came under deep conviction of sin. I realized I was sinning against God. Stephen talks about the depth of conviction of sin he came under because of homosexual practice. And because of that conviction, I realized I could be damned, I would be separated from God forever. Death penalty is almost trivial in comparison with that. And I tell people you can drown in 10 feet of water just as easily as in 100 feet of water. There are different levels of guilt, but we all need God's mercy and help. So we fully agree with his moral code, which says human sin nailed Jesus to the cross. That's how wicked and ugly and horrific it is. And if we don't turn from it and renounce it, we'll be cut off from God forever. Thank God for his mercy, which not only forgives us, but transforms us so that the law is now written on our hearts and we are empowered supernaturally to do the will of God. Last point to make on this is that if you go the way that you are going, okay, you will end up departing from the gospel. It's that simple. It has nothing to do with sanctioning sin. It has to do with preaching something other than what the New Testament clearly preaches. And that's very dangerous. And it's not the homosexual issue is not even the issue. It's an issue of all the other things that come up. And that's why I stress that the laws in Leviticus that prohibit homosexuality are part of universal abominations that will bring God's judgment on a people. Incest, if practiced by a nation, has seeds of judgment in itself and will bring divine punishment. Bestiality will bring divine punishment. Persistent adultery will bring divine punishment. All kinds of immorality have seeds of punishment within themselves. Someone once said that the punishment of sin is sin itself. homosexual practice is also an abomination in God's sight. This is universal for all peoples. There are also laws that God gave specifically to Israel for a certain time, for a certain season. Even rabbinic Jews understand that the death penalty is not in place for these same things today. And I'd encourage you to walk in the liberty of the new covenant.
This audio provided by InterstateQ.com and Matt Comer, with permission from Dr. Michael Brown and the Coalition of Conscience.